100 KBLJ. It's time for Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 1400 KBLJ, a show to educate you on the best seed selections and soil preparations for residential and commercial turf, range of grass, cover crops, and more. And now, Lauren Adams of Arkansas Valley Seeds alongside Pat McGee, Growing Together on AM 1400 KBLJ.
And of course, also on AM 920 KLMR Lamar, where Ty's probably yelling at me right now, but that's okay. It won't be the first time he has. Hey, good morning, everybody. Pat McGee along with you here. Lauren Adams right across the way from Arkansas Valley Seeds.
Good morning.
And we're going to be talking bees this morning. Are we not? Yes, we're talking bees and their importance to agriculture and really our life in general. We'll be joined in just a moment here by Joe Campera. And he'll be filling us in on bees and everything. Hey, Lauren, give us a rundown on Arkansas Valley Seeds before we get going here this morning.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in to Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds. We're located at 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford, Colorado. Phone number is 719-254-7469, and we're here to help you with all of your seed needs. So if you have land, you know, ranchers, farmers looking for cover crops, looking for your grains, grasses, sorghums, that sort of thing, come on by and talk to Tony and myself.
Yes, indeed. Get on by there. And are we going to be doing a trivia question of some kind today?
Joe is going to have to come up with one for us. There will be a trivia question coming up.
We just put him on the spot for that, I'm sure. And
right.
I'm bringing him up on the telephone right now. And, of course, when we do get to that trivia question, all you have to do is ring us up at 384-2345, 719-384-2345. And the person with the correct answer will get a 3-pound bag of turf seed from Arkansas Valley Seeds, one of Lauren's many varieties, or a 1/2-pound bag of wildflower seeds. So you can take your pick right there. Hey, let's get after it. I'll turn it over to Lauren, and we'd like to bring in Joe Campera. Good morning, Joe, and welcome to Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds.
Yeah, Joe, and it's
howdy, Pat and Lauren. Mike, glad to be on the call today.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you made it, Joe. I understand we had a little bit of a little bit of weather conditions that might have affected your ability to be here this morning. So,
Mother Nature is kind of strange that way. Whenever you think that you've got her figured out, she's going to throw a wrench in whatever you're trying to do, whether that's driving to the radio station, whether it's planting crops, or whether it's trying to keep bees.
You're right. Well, speaking of the grass or the wildflower seeds that we're going to be giving away today, one of the options is our pollinator mix or our honeybee mix that we use to attract pollinators, specifically honeybees, to do their work on our our farmland and all of those vegetable products that come out there. So, Joe, let me just tee you up here, man. I am so grateful that you're able to join us today because you and I have had a couple of conversations, and I've always enjoyed talking to you because you're so knowledgeable about this topic. So tell us just a little bit about yourself for our listeners' sake, a little bit about your background and what you do currently.
Well, I am a certified master beekeeper. Right. My wife and I have been keeping bees in the Denver metro area for this is our 8th season now. Mm-hmm. And we kind of got into it in a strange way. My wife has always liked bugs, insects, snakes, and things like that. She was kind of a tomboyish person.
I was going to say that
growing up, and
that's unusual for a gal, you know. So
yeah, it is. But she loves rescuing turtles. She's an Okie, and we go back to Oklahoma several times a year to visit her mom. And one of the things she does every year is go to the Oklahoma State Fair, and they always have a big display about bees.
Okay.
And about 10 years ago, she started asking about how to keep bees. And every time she asked, they'd say, well, where do you live? And she'd say, Colorado. And they said, you got to find someone in Colorado because beekeeping is local. Local conditions dictate what the bees are going to do. So you need to go to someone in Colorado. And that was kind of our start of the odyssey. After a couple years of investigating, we actually got our own bees and just got stung by the hobby, so to speak, and have been doing it ever since. But we keep anywhere from about 20 to 40 hives in the Denver area, and we have them mostly on hive host locations, and we'll probably talk about hive hosts later. But among them, we have hives at a historic farmhouse that's 17 miles from downtown Denver. It was a stagecoach stop, and back in the 1890s, they had hives there, and so we're helping them recreate that prairie homestead with the bees. And then we have them at the Centennial Airport, second largest general airport in the U.S. And we have bees there because they want to use some of that environment to help Mother Nature. Good. And then we even have bees at the Denver Broncos Training Center. So one could say we're the Broncos beekeepers. We've been keeping bees for this 8 years, and we just love working with the bees. It's, believe it or not, a very calming and tranquil pastime.
That's great. You know, I've done a little bit of research about bees since you and I have started talking, and you know, the lead up to the show here, the ad we ran, I know that bees pollinate stuff and they make honey. Outside of that, I don't know much. And, you know, understand that there is a lot of talk about the depletion of bee populations across, you know, not just the United States, but around the world. And some of the things that we can do to help not just maintain, but maybe regenerate some of those populations here in our agriculture practices, and the things that we can do to make sure that we have habitat for those pollinators and the bees that are there. And so can you speak to a little bit about the depopulation of the bees and what we might do to counteract some of that?
Sure. Well, back in the late 2000s, around 2007, 2008, people started hearing about something called colony collapse disorder. And beehives were just dying left and right, and they didn't know why. Mm. And they couldn't really put a cause to it. And we've come to find since that maybe it wasn't really a disease, but instead a disorder where it's a perfect storm of several things coming together. Use of pesticides, the bees losing habitat, changes in planting with big mono agriculture, right, and then even some climate change. And then adding to that a bunch of pests and diseases that have been imported from other parts of the world, and our bees here just haven't been able to adapt and evolve. So all those things came together to lose thousands, even millions of hives in the U.S. And very steadily since that time, beekeepers have been getting better, and we're finally building back up to almost what one might call a steady state now. Okay. But still, we suffered really bad losses. Back in the 1940s, there were more than 6 million beehives in the U.S. But today, we only have about 2.7 million. So, you know, less than half of what we had at the height of beekeeping in the U.S. are here today. Mm-hmm. And yet about 30% of our food is pollinated by bees. So if we don't have bees, a lot of the food that we take for granted, all the food that you're supposed to eat because of the bright colors, like the green peppers, red cherries, raspberries, all those things that are colorful that make a good variety in your food and in your nutrition, wouldn't be around if we didn't have the bees and the other pollinators to help us. Right. So when we look at the pesticides and the loss of habitat and the climate change and the bee diseases, we need to do something to stop that so that we can maintain this steady state and hopefully start building back up.
You say we're making some gains in that department, though, right?
Yeah, actually, in the last couple of years, we're about steady state. So it's good news, but, you know, we still got to keep on trying.
Sure.
And, you know, one of the problems is that when you have hundreds of thousands of acres of one single crop growing in one place, it becomes a food desert for the bees, especially if it's a crop that the bees can't utilize, something like corn. If you have hundreds of thousands of acres of corn, you're not going to have many honeybees there because they can't live off of that biome. So what we need to do is we need to get farmers to be looking at where can we plant those wildflower mixes that Arkansas Valley Seed makes along the edges of the crop rows and between the medians and things like that, so that the bees have forage and food so that they can survive and they can live in all areas in just certain areas instead of just certain areas.
Good. We certainly try to encourage crop diversity, and those pollinators blends that we set out there are pretty simple. A lot of the CRP stuff that we have has to do with wildflowers and integrating those into the you know, the practices of what farmers do. And it's pretty effective. The Lacey Oral is our wildflower seed expert here at Arkansas Valley Seeds, and she has put a tremendous amount of research into the components of those seed mixes so that they are, we have the ability to change them based on what region they're going to be planted in, because different regions have different, you know, requirements.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing to have Lacey online. She is really terrific. She knows what she's talking about. And for farmers, ranchers, or even just hobbyists that want to have something to contribute to the purpose of bees and their habitat, These things are available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joe, you mentioned different types of techniques, if you will, for different regions of the country when it comes to raising bees and that type of thing. Are there actually, and I think you're kind of dealing with what most people would call what, a common honeybee? Is that right? Is that what they are?
So the European or Western honeybee is scientifically known as Apis mellifera. It's one of seven different types of honeybees throughout the world. They're the only seven types of bees that make honey. There's over 20,000 different types of bees in the entire world.
Wow.
In the United States and North America, there's over 4,500. Okay. And here in Colorado alone, we have 946 different native or solitary bees. And the honeybee only makes up one of those different breeds of bees here in Colorado.
Now,
and, of course, that's the Western or European honeybee.
Now, what are you into when it comes to, say, I'm sure you're probably into all facets of this. You have bees that, that produce honey and also that are used specifically for pollinating crops. How does that work out with the different bees, if you will, here in Colorado? Is there one that's better than the other for a specific job?
Well, there again, each when there's 946 different bees that are in Colorado,
yes,
there's actually 3,000 different plants, vascular plants, that those 946 bees pollinate so that those plants can grow and provide cover and food and all the other things, not only food for us, but food for other animals. But it's only the Western honeybee or Apis mellifera that we utilize to produce honey, and also we utilize for pollination. So like bees actually are shipped out to California each year to pollinate the almond crop. 95% of the almond crop within the world is actually produced in California. So for all those people who need almond milk because they're lactose intolerant and they use almond flour because they're gluten intolerant, well, 95% of the world's almonds come from California. It takes about 2.6 million hives, I'm sorry, 1.6 million hives to pollinate all of those almonds, but the area can only support about 600,000 hives, so we're short a million hives. So each year, beekeepers transport about a million hives out to California this time of the year because the crop is going to start coming in February and March, and they ship a million hives of bees out there to pollinate those crops. Now, you have to have a lot of hives to ship them out there.
Yeah.
So a small backyard or urban beekeeper with only a few hives is probably not going to get in on pollination. And it's probably just going to keep the bees to help get a feel for Mother Nature, to be a little self-sufficient for a little of their own honey, just like they might have a few chickens for their own eggs, and try to be a little sustainable. But it's big business for the almond pollinators, and if we didn't have the bees to pollinate that crop, one of the world's major crops, almonds, wouldn't even exist.
That's interesting when you come right down to that. Mm-hmm. So
then ship it all that way and
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then basically here in Colorado, you use about the same species of bees for both the honey production and for pollination.
That's correct, and one of the reasons that the honeybee is so well at pollinating is it has a very long tongue or proboscis. And most of the native bees, those 946 that we talked about before, their proboscises are only about half the length of a honeybee. So the honeybee has a tongue that can get deeper into the flowers to get the nectar. And so they can bring that nectar out. Of course, when they're going to get the nectar, they're bringing pollen from the other flowers and they're actually cross-pollinating those flowers. So if the flower or plant is not wind pollinated and has to be pollinated by a pollinator, the bees are very efficient at it. That's why they can pollinate about 90% of the plants that we eat because of their long tongue.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'm a big proponent of hydroponics and doing greenhouses with hydroponic systems to grow a lot of food products. And a lot of those are self-pollinating food products or, tomato varieties and so forth that are self-pollinating. But I've also seen where people bring in bees into those greenhouses. Now, those aren't your typical honeybees, are they?
No, usually in the greenhouses, you'll see bumblebees. And most of the time when you're talking about bumblebees like tomatoes are actually shook pollinated. And
right.
So what the bumblebees will do is they'll go up to the flowers on the tomato plant and they'll actually buzz the plant and shake the pollen, and then the pollen falls off and falls to the other plants, and therefore does the fertilization. So they don't actually have to move it from place to place. They just go in there and shake it around, and that's how the more or less wind pollinating or self-pollinating gets better. Now, it would work on its own with wind, but by having something like the bumblebees there to do some of the heavy lifting and a lot of the work to make sure it's being done, you get a much better crop yield.
I use an electric toothbrush myself. Seriously, I go out and my wife says I'm out tickling my meters.
There you go.
Well, you know, there are places in the world, specifically in China, where the pollution has been so bad, they've killed off all the bees in some of their agricultural areas. And they actually have people that go out with paintbrushes and actually take pollen from plant to plant in order to pollinate. You know, I don't think we could keep agriculture going here in the U.S. if that's the way we had to pollinate. So, you know, the fact that we have bees of all different types that can help us do that pollination helps make us the breadbasket of the world.
Yes, indeed. All right. We do have to take a break. It is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds here on News Talk, AM 1400 KBLJ and News Radio, AM 920 KLMR. We will be right back. Our guest today is Joe Campera, and he is going to be talking about everything you wanted to know about bees, but we're probably afraid to ask. And I'll tell you what, there is no reason to be afraid of bees. And I think we'll address that with Joe, too, here in just a little bit. Don't go away. It is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds. I'm Pat McGee. That's Lauren Adams. Joe's on the phone. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Hey, I'm Pat McGee, inviting you to join me and Lauren Adams Tuesday mornings, 11:15 to noon, on AM 920 KLMR and AM 1400 KBLJ for Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds. We'll be discussing topics related to agriculture with a
weekly
guest.
Hey, Joe, we're off the air right now.
Okay.
Now, are you able to come up with some kind of trivia question for us?
Oh, yeah, I have a couple here.
We're growing together with information from leaders in agriculture.
I'm
growing together with Arkansas Valley Seeds,
11:15
Tuesday mornings on KBLJ and KLMR.
Okay. Which one
Golden Plains Insurance.
And it all depends on which way we go and talk.
All right. You can text the answer to me if you would like.
That's very nice, but why are
you
calling
when we get there? And just text it to my cell phone, which is 719.
We do if you're looking for crop insurance, along with homeowners, auto, farm, and ranch insurance, too, but we don't know anything about Baby New Year.
Do you want some of my old baby toys?
Start the new year right with Golden Plains Insurance, with offices in Lamar, Springfield, and Walsh, homegrown and independent just like you.
Go, shorty, it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. I wanna wish you a happy birthday.
Birthdays are a goal.
Yeah, I know. You were saying every time we talk about birthdays, when people like bemoan getting older, what do you say about that?
I say that he who celebrates the most birthdays wins.
And they're awesome because you get cake.
That's right.
And we do celebrate birthdays right here on AM 1400 KBLJ with the Birthday Club. If someone you know and love has a birthday coming up and you want Southeast Colorado to know, drop us a line in the mail. KBLJ Radio, 116 Dalton Avenue, La Junta, 81050. Or email me, Ann with an E, at 25-7media.com or Pat at 25-7media.com. In any case, let us know and we'll let everyone know, so we can party.
Awesome.
Awesome.
You know, like it's your birthday. Here on AM 1400 KBLJ.
Back we are. It is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 1400 KBLJ, AM 920 KLMR. You can't get away from us. You can't get away from the snow either down here. We are under a winter weather advisory until 11 o'clock tonight. Joe, you're up there in the metro area, the Denver metro area, right? What's the weather like up that way?
Well, you know, it really didn't snow much here, and the roads are relatively clear. It wasn't until we got over Monument Pass or Monument Hill there where it really started getting bad. So I'm assuming every place south of Monument Hill there is where it's getting hit, because we had to turn around. We couldn't make it down to you guys.
Yes, indeed. We're expected about 4 inches of snow down here, if not a little bit more, before this is all said and done. Our advisory is in effect until 11 o'clock tonight. Hey, one thing I did want to bring up to you, a lot of people have a fear of bees. Now, I live up north of La Junta here. right in the middle of an agricultural area. And I do know at one time we did have a professional beekeeper there in Sherrah proper. And if you tool around, you could occasionally see, you know, the beehives out there in the fields and that type of thing. And we have in between our house and our neighbor's house a line of crabapple trees. And those things are always full of bees. Now, I think a lot of people have a fear of bees. And really, to my experience, they pretty well leave you alone, even if you're out walking around under those trees. Do you think a lot of that fear that people have is completely unfounded?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely unfounded. In fact, 90% of stings do not come from bees, but rather come from the wasp family. Mm-hmm. Yellow jackets, hornets, wasps are the ones that are stinging people. And the thing about the bees is when the bee stings you, it's going to die because the bee has a barbed stinger. And so when that sting goes into your skin, when the bee tries to get away, it actually rips out their guts and the bee's going to die. So the bee, being a very communal animal, wants to stay alive because if it dies, it's no longer there to help its sisters in the colony survive. So it's only used as a last-ditch method. And, you know, it's very common, especially in parts of the country where there's clover in the grass, that when kids are out walking barefoot in the summer in the clover fields and the grass fields and all that, they get stung on the foot because they're stepping on a bee and they're crushing it, and the bee is going to react in defense of itself. But otherwise, the bees that are out on the flowers, whether it be the crabapple trees or plants, vegetables, etc., their sole purpose in life is to collect nectar and bring it back in order to make honey for the hive to survive the winter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they don't bring any nectar back because they killed themselves stinging you, they're of no use to the colony. So, you know, the bees take the bad rap for the wasps, the hornets, and the yellow jackets when they really don't deserve that.
And I think a lot of people don't make the distinction between the different species there, do they?
Right. Well, most people can't make the distinction. One of the things, the Colorado State Beekeepers Association actually runs what we call a swarm hotline. And if you ever see a swarm of bees, especially in the spring when it normally happens, you can call this this toll-free number. It's an 844 number, and they will send a beekeeper out to collect and recover and rescue these bees so they won't be a nuisance to you. But once the summer is over and swarming has stopped, we'll still get calls from people saying, I've got a swarm of bees under my porch or in my deck or in my wall. Right. And 9 times out of 10, those are wasps or hornet nests. And people will say, I know the difference between a bee and a wasp, and this is a bee because it's yellow and black. And so people see yellow and black, they associate with a bee. Yeah. But truth be told, most bees are gray and black or brown and black, and very rarely yellow and black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. So most of them are dealing with yellow jackets and that type of thing then.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned swarming. Now, I think that's very important, and I have... You know, a friend of mine in Arizona, she loves to get those phone calls where a bee's swarmed and then kind of colonized in a tree in the backyard. And she'll go collect those and bring those back and put them in a box and move that whole colony so it can be useful for that purpose and get them out of there.
Well, that is the true definition of freebie.
Yeah, freebie.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Now, bees are communal, and you'll see multiple hives out in different areas from time to time. Does the particular bee know which hive is theirs, or do they just go from one to the other? How's that work?
Well, the bees actually do know which hive is theirs. The bees have an extremely well-developed sense of smell, and they actually can smell their sister bees back in the hive. Likewise, they can smell their queen because each queen gives off a different scent. The other thing is they have a highly developed visual sensory system, and they actually have 5 eyes, 2 eyes on the side of the head that we always can see, but there's 3 little like light emitters or sensors on the top of their head, and they can sense ultraviolet rays from the sun. So even when the clouds are out and it's daytime and they can't see the sun, they can still use those 3 light sensors to triangulate back to their particular hive. Now, they also can see images and landmarks. So they put those images and landmarks together with the GPS coordinates, essentially, that they're getting from the sun by triangulating.
Yeah.
The little built-in Own little built-in Garmin on each one of them right there.
So, exactly. So you know, the bees were doing it 100,000 years before we were even on the earth.
So if I'm interested in having some bees and maybe doing some honey for myself, is that safe to do with neighbors just across the fence?
Well, here again, you know, when the bees leave the hive, they have a very specific mission. As soon as they leave the front of the hive, they're going to go up to about 15 to 20 feet flight path. So if you have some type of view block or bushes or something, maybe 5 to 10 feet in front of your hive, they're going to go up in the air sooner than later, and they're going to be way above everyone's heads before they could ever get caught in somebody's hair or clothes. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, really there's no reason that people should worry about having bees next door, or even in urban areas. Right. In urban areas, we find hives on top of hotels and restaurants, in backyards that are not much more than a postage stamp, and the bees can get along with everyone because, believe it or not, the bees are coming to your flowers. You just don't know where they're located at, and you'll see them out in your gardens and your flowers, and they usually don't bother you. As we said before, they're not going to sting unless you're threatening them, and they go about their business of pollinating, and actually, it's a good thing. I used to have strawberries in one of the places I lived in northern Colorado. And because there were no bees anywhere nearby, because this was all brand new subdivision and there were no trees, there were no beekeepers, no farms, anything else, just acres and acres and acres of land with no bees, those strawberries never did very well. When a beekeeper started keeping bees in the neighborhood, all of a sudden, my strawberries started being great. Yeah. So, you know, you actually can see results when bees are there to pollinate.
Now, you'll have agricultural producers actually hire you to bring the hives out. There is kind of a rent-a-bee type of thing, is it not?
Yeah, there is some of that, and that's local pollination. Out here in northern Colorado or central Colorado, out by the Denver airport, there's all types of sunflower fields. And several of those farmers actually pay beekeepers to bring hives to their property and leave the hives there for a couple months so that the bees will help pollinate their sunflower crop. So there is that going on, but most backyard beekeepers really aren't worried about that. They just like to have places for their bees. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we call that hive hosting when you find someone who would like to have bees on their property but doesn't want to be a beekeeper. What you do is you offer to put hives on their property. Yeah. And then depending on what kind of agreement you have, you might give them a little of the honey crop if you get some. Yeah. Or, you know, some people might charge for that service. And it all depends on what the beekeeper can work out with the landowner. But when we get into real crop pollination, you know, there are farmers who will pay for beekeepers to bring their hives on site.
Okay. What type of crops in Colorado do bees pollinate?
Well, it's interesting because the it's such a wide range, you wouldn't really believe it. But, you know, one of the things when I talk to the school kids is I tell them that if it wasn't for the bees, we wouldn't not only have cauliflower and broccoli. And believe it or not, most days now, the kids go, oh, that would be terrible. And I mean, I can't believe that. But we also wouldn't have cherries and apples and cranberries and things like that. But I also tell them we wouldn't have chocolate milk and hamburgers. Mm-hmm. And they'll look at me and they say, well, how can that be? What do bees have to do with that? But we talk about the circle of life with the kids. And the fact is that the bees will pollinate the alfalfa, the clover, and the sainte foie. And then the cows will eat that. And then, of course, we can get our dairy and meat products from the cows. So it's all interrelated. But, you know, even one of the things that most people don't know is that cotton is pollinated by bees. Mm-hmm. And although we don't have cotton here much in Colorado that I know of, cotton honey is actually a very good honey. And if you think about it, before we had synthetic, fabrics, if it wasn't for the bees, we wouldn't have had clothes.
Right. Interesting. That is a very interesting thought. Yes, indeed. Joe Campera's with us here. It is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds here on AM 1400 KBLJ, AM 920 KLMR. Lauren Adams from Arkansas Valley Seeds in with us, of course. How much nectar, how much pollen do bees actually move around? I mean, you talk about an individual bee, it almost seems like a minuscule, almost a microscopic amount. But when you get a whole hive or a number of them, you're probably talking about quite a little bit.
Well, believe it or not, each bee in its lifetime will only make 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey in their entire life.
Wow.
Okay? But in order for that colony of bees to survive, they need about 110 pounds of pollen that's stored away, and about 440 pounds of nectar needs to be harvested and stored so that the bees can make it through the winter.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, so, that's okay. Really wild. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, something that comes to my mind, too, with bees around, are bees capable of maybe being predators of maybe some of the unwanted aphids, that sort of thing, white flies? Do they help any way with any of those sorts of pests?
No, bees are completely plant eaters, and so they'll only eat pollen as their protein and nectar as their carbohydrates, and that's all they eat. So they don't attack other insects, animals, or anything else. And, you know, they just kind of go about their business of collecting the pollen, collecting the nectar. But they also collect some resins, and they collect some water, too, so that they have all the basic necessities in their hive.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm using pesticides on my garden to get rid of things like aphids and whiteflies, I'm going to be harming the bees that are there to do the pollinating. Is that right?
Well, it's possible, but if you're careful about when you're using those pesticides, mm-hmm. you can still use some of them and yet keep the bees safe. And one of the ways of doing that is don't spray open blossoms, because that's where the bees are going to go and collect.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're going to spray late in the evening right before dusk, because the bees are settled into their hive for the night, and overnight those pesticides are going to dry, so they won't be as bad for the bees when the bees come out in the morning and start collecting nectar and pollen.
Okay, good tip right there. All right, we do take a break. We'll be right back with more from Joe Compera. We'll have our trivia question coming up as well. And, of course, the winner of that will get to choose from a 3-pound bag of some specialty turf seed. You can take your pick from Arkansas Valley Seeds or that half-pound bag of wildflower mix. We'll be right back. It is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 1400, KBLJ, AM 920, KLMR. We're coming right back.
Hey, it's Ann, and let's get serious, just a little serious, just for a small moment. I've been covering the news for a while now, and in the last couple of months, I've noticed the use of a word, a term, that seemed a little not right, not all the way right. Social distancing. It means keeping a physical distance from somebody, so shouldn't we have just maybe said physical distance? Mental health experts have agreed.
It was sort of unfortunate that we all so readily landed on calling it social distancing. That's not what we need. We need the opposite of social distancing. What we need is physical distancing and social togetherness.
We are social beings. We love our family. We love our friends. We love time together. And while this is difficult, we are here, hopefully, making that a little bit better for you, covering the news that you need. And Pat will do what Pat has always done, and we'll be here for you. And while physically distanced, we're socially together. Thank you for trusting AM 1400 KBLJ. Hey, it's Ann. Shh, do not tell the bosses. I think we're having fun in the mornings here on AM 1400 KBLJ, especially on TTO. I mean, I live to give Pat McGee a hard time in the morning.
I remember watching that. I'm old. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to say anything.
I was a senior in high school when I watched that. Okay.
Because I was in pull-ups. Are you okay? Did you just get a visual of that? Little tidy Ann with her red fuzz hair and her little white lace-up high-top. You know, walking shoes.
I'm almost going to have to.
In pull-ups. I'm a big kid now. Craziness aside, we bring you all the information that you need. Interviews with community leaders about things going on, news, weather, and, well, the other. That's why it's called TTO. This, that, and the other. And it's brought to you by the Arkansas Valley Hospice. Weekday mornings just after 8 o'clock on Newstalk AM 1400 KBLJ.
This is meteorologist Dennis Hull with your Tuesday Ag weather impacts. Well, snowfall Sunday into Monday was mainly 2 to 4 inches across southeast Colorado. Another system that currently stretches from Utah and western Colorado down into New Mexico will bring another round of snow today with amounts 1 to 3 inches. The snow could be heavy enough in some areas to cause cold stress for livestock or disrupt farm-to-market transport, especially on rural roadways. Look for a warming trend to begin Wednesday, and above normal temperatures are likely for Thursday into Monday. The drier pattern returning on Wednesday could extend through the weekend, with the next chance for precipitation possibly next Tuesday and Wednesday. though this week's moisture and the possible rain and snow next week may be too light to remove the severe to extreme drought conditions, at least it should keep it from getting any worse in the short term. But it looks like a drier pattern will return for the second week of February. The mountain snowpack for the Arkansas River Basin is currently sitting at around 95% of the usual amount for late January, and there could be some minor improvement in these data through next week. Soil temperatures at the 4-inch depth are in the lower and mid-30s and may warm slightly next week. This is meteorologist Dennis Hull, and that's your Ag Weather Impacts.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Back once again, it is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 1400 KBLJ, AM 920 KLMR, Lauren Adams across the way, and Joe Comperta on the telephone with us. And Joe, do you have an official name for your company, that, or do you actually have a company? This is a little more than a hobby for you, I would say.
Yeah, it is a little more than a hobby. My wife came up with the name of Happy Busy Bees because she just felt that it was the way that she felt the bees should be. They're happy, busy bees. Yeah. And so we're happybusybees.com. But I'm the average Joe beekeeper. And the reason I go by the average Joe beekeeper is that although there are some, books for dummies, most beekeepers aren't dummies. And there's idiot's guide, but most folks aren't idiots either. But everyone can hopefully relate to an average Joe or an average Jane. Mm-hmm. And so I teach beekeeping. I help people manage their hives. And I try to make it such that as I'm teaching about bees, if my grandmother could understand what I'm talking about, then most people are going to understand it.
Right. All right. Very good.
So how can somebody reach out to you, Joe, if they wanted to talk to you about maybe getting some mentorship or something along those lines?
Well, there again, happybusybees.com. I put a weekly hint and tip out there for beekeepers. So if you want to learn a little bit about beekeeping, one little bite at a time, every week there's a brand new hint and tip that you can grab for free just by going to happybusybees.com. But there's also different papers I've written and different articles that have been published in magazines that are posted there that are available for our listeners to read and learn a little bit more about beekeeping. And, of course, they can look at purchasing honey online here in Colorado under the Colorado Cottage Food Act. And we have other bee merchandise. And they can either even sign up for classes that I teach.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Now, I mean, right down the road in Rocky Ford, and Lauren is very familiar with the crafts fair. We have the Hidden Hive here just down the road in Rocky Ford, and they do bees and honey and all wax and all kinds of stuff down there with that. So there's a lot of different products that do come from bees aside from just the pollination aspect.
Yes, there's actually many. I mean, of course, everyone knows about beeswax. But, during the Second World War, the reason we had 6 million beehives is because they were raising bees so that they could get the beeswax to lubricate the weapons and bullets and the armament that was being used in World War II. And that's really the high point of beekeeping in the U.S. was back during the Second World War when there were over 6 million hives. Mm-hmm. So, you have that aspect. Of course, you can use the beeswax to polish your furniture. It's used in lip balms. It's used in lotions and soaps. Of course, you can also get other products from the hive. You can make beeswax candles, and beeswax candles actually burn brighter than any other type of candle, and they burn without any odor or without any soot.
Boy, that is interesting. All right, we've got a few minutes left right here. Joe, let's get into our trivia question here, if you will.
Sure. Well, we were talking about it before, but how many pounds of nectar does it take for the normal hive to get through winter?
That's right. And we did mention that too. So hopefully somebody was paying attention right there. how many pounds of nectar did it take for the average hive to get through the winter? 384-2345, 719-384-2345. If you can figure that out, if you remember that, give us a ring. You will get your choice of a three-pound bag of the different turf blends that are available from Arkansas Valley Seeds, and that is grass seed, or the half-pound bag of wildflower seeds. All right. Lauren, do you have anything else for Joe here this morning?
Well, Joe, I just wanted to mention now, local honey, I'm told that if you consume, you know, a minute amount of local honey, it could help you with local allergies. Is that something that's factual, or is that just a wives' tale?
Well, it's let me put it this way. The FDA will not allow me to make any medical claims for honey.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But there's a lot of people who use honey on a daily basis and say that it helps them with their allergies. So if it's working for them, I'm not going to tell them they shouldn't be buying local honey. But like I said, the FDA frowns on us making medical claims, and so therefore I can't tell you that it's going to help. But okay. If you're using it and you believe it helps, well, then continue using it.
Right. Well, I was hoping to be able to tell my customers, use our honeybee wildflower mix, and if that gives you allergies, just use some of the honey. You'll be all right.
There you go.
So it's not going to work out quite like that. So if you're listening and you check out our podcast at avseeds.com. You want to go on there and check out our past episodes, and Joe will be on there here pretty soon, too.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and listen to this program a little bit later.
All right. Very well. Joe.
Hey, Pat, Lauren, one thing I would like to bring up.
Sure.
For your listeners, if they're interested in becoming beekeepers, one of the great places to start is the Colorado State Beekeeping Association, CSBA, and the website is ColoradoBeekeepers.org, and the Colorado Beekeeping Association was actually founded in 1880, and it's one of the longest existing state bee associations in the country.
Wow.
And if you go out to that website, there are 14 different clubs affiliated with the state club. And one of those clubs might be in your listener's area. And so they can always go to that site, find out what clubs are in the area, and then they can contact those clubs to learn a little bit more about beekeeping.
Oh, very good. Very good. All right. Your contact information, your website, one more time, Joe.
HappyBusyBees.com, just the way it sounds.
That's an easy one. HappyBusyBees.com. So log on and check that out. And I'm going to give them another free plug. You know, if you're interested in honey and bees and stuff like that, get on out and see our friends at the Hidden Hive right there on the west side of Rocky Ford, just west of the Highway 71 Junction. So there you go. Joe Comperta has been with us today. Joe, thanks so much for your time. A very, very interesting show. And we look forward to talking with you some more possibly later on.
Anytime. I'm happy to join you guys.
All right, very good. Thanks, Joe. You have a good day, and hopefully you can stay out of the snow up there in the metro area. We'll keep it all down here.
Okay, yeah. Make sure we get that snow going there to help agriculture and get out of this drought.
You bet. They need it down here. All right, Joe, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Joe Comperta. All right, happybusybees.com. Just check that out. All right, quick break. We'll be back again to wrap things up here, and Lauren will give us a rundown of next week's show, where you can find the podcasts of our shows as well, and what he does here at Arkansas Valley Seeds. We'll be right back. It is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 1400 KVLJ, AM 920 KLMR.
Attention, Otero County small business owners, including art and cultural organizations and minority-owned businesses. Relief funds are now available to you. If you are a struggling restaurant, bar, caterer, movie theater, a fitness or sports center, these allocated funds are for you. If you do not apply today, all money will be returned to the Department of Local Affairs. Application is open now through February 6th. Need help uploading documents or would like assistance? Contact the Small Business Development Center or Danielle Berg at 719-241-4992.
Hiya, Queen of All Knowledge here, reminding you, creeps out there on the internet hack, scam, and trick savvy cyber users every day, but we can fight back. It's as easy as IC3. If you're a victim of online crime, don't give up. Visit IC3, the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center. Your tips help the FBI track down cyber criminals around the world. Report your crime to www.ic3.gov today.
All righty, we are back to wrap things up on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds. Couple of quick notes. Rocky Ford City Hall was closing at noon today due to the weather. We were just informed that the Otero County offices are closing at noon early due to the weather. And the Rocky Ford Calhan basketball game that was scheduled for this afternoon in the Mellon Dome, that has been canceled as well. So there you go. Lauren, real quick, tell us about Arkansas Valley Seeds and who we have on our next show.
Well, hey, I'm so glad that you guys joined us today. Arkansas Valley Seeds is located at 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford. And you can always give us a call, 719-254-7469. We'd love to talk dirt.
All right. Yeah. What do we have going on next week?
We got Dion Oaks. He's a co-owner of the Wright Oaks LLC, which is a hemp growing operation over in the San Luis Valley. And we talked a little bit about hemp a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did.
And
yeah.
we learned that there's a lot more questions than answers out there. Mm-hmm. And there's some misinformation, some bad stuff going on, but, you know, with information that's not really
true.
Right.
All right.
So, Dion is going to be here next week. Talk to us about hemp.
All right. We'll find out more about that next week on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 1400 KBLJ, AM 920 KLMR. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. And be careful out there on the highways and byways. It's getting slick.
The Arkansas Valley source for news, weather, sports, and information. News Talk 1400.